It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
When it's a good life, we've been studying through the New Testament. And I've called this a bird's eye view. And the reason I've called that is we're not going in depth in the study of these books. Rather, my goal is to give you a bird's eye view of the books of the New Testament. And today we want to look at number 23, 1 John. And this is the 23rd book of the New Testament. Well, as we look into this book, some of the background on the book, of course, the author was John, the son of Zebedee, the apostle whom Christ loved in a special way, according to John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27. Well, we can also look at 2 John 1 and 3 John 1 and to see that about the apostle, that he was the writer of the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Well, John was the last apostle alive and wrote to combat the heresy, the teachings of a group called the Gnostics, when they spread the false doctrine. And, you know, we have some of those people around today, don't we? John writes to set the record straight as he walked and talked with Jesus for years. He could refute false teaching with eyewitness accounts. He was with the Lord. He saw what was going on, and he was a witness to what the Lord had done while being on this earth. Well, John writes to combat this heresy and the heresy about the false teachers, and he was teaching about love here and to provide assurance of salvation. And once again, we have many false teachers today, and one way that we combat those false teachers is to stay in the Word of God. Well, the date of the writing of 1 John was about A.D. 90 or 95, and it was before the persecution of Domitian, the Roman emperor. Well, the setting, as we look at this, was written to beloved brethren whom John knew personally, and probably from Ephesus, where John had worked after leaving Jerusalem. Well, the exact audience is not known, whom he was writing to, but the key verses here, once again, there could be several, but I would call your attention, first of all, to 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Well, then, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, it says, And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, we find that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, according to the Scriptures. And the Scriptures is what leads us. And the Holy Spirit leads us through the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A person is saved after they hear the Word of God, and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says, And thou shalt be saved. The Scriptures say this, And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as a person hears that, and the Holy Spirit works within the person's heart, they make a decision whether to not trust Christ or to trust Jesus as Savior. And I pray that you've done that today. You've trusted Him. As 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 says, And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Trust Him today as your Savior. And if you've never done that, ask Him to come into your heart right now. What about the purpose of the book of 1 John? We read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 that it is to establish fellowship based upon Jesus Christ. He says there, That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, not only was John saying that you could have fellowship with other believers, but you can have fellowship with the Father, God the Father, in other words, and that you can have fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we can have fellowship with others, with other people who have trusted Jesus. We can have fellowship with God, He's our Father, after we've trusted Jesus Christ, and we can have fellowship with our Savior as well, Jesus Christ. Well, another thing that we see as a purpose here is that joy can be realized to its fullest. He says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." You want to be happy? Trust Jesus as your Savior. You want to be happy as a Christian? Get into His Word. Read His Word. "These things have I written unto you." These things were written that our joy might be full as Christians. Once again, these things, that's the Scriptures. "These things have I written unto you," John says, "that your joy may be full." Well, that's God speaking, really. He's saying, "I've written these things for you, for your benefit." Well, the theme of the book here seems to be fellowship, according to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And we read, first of all, once again, that John declares unto us that we may have fellowship with them, and that's with the apostles. And once again, they're our brothers in Christ. We can have fellowship with the Father and the Son, and that fellowship is with God, His Son. How do we have fellowship with John and the other apostles? We read the Word of God, and we're actually having fellowship with them and fellowship with the Lord at the same time. And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, it talks about having fellowship with God and His Son. Walking in the light, once again, is something that produces fellowship. Walking in the light produces fellowship with fellow believers, according to 1 John 1, 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Well, what about a hindrance to fellowship? There are hindrances. As we read in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, says the love of the world can be a hindrance to fellowship. It says there in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Well, it's once again, it's not putting a condition on salvation. We know that we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Well, what it's talking about here is don't set your affections on the things of this world. They're going to pass away. We need to set, and I'm speaking to Christians, we need to set our affections on the Lord. Keep our eyes upon the Lord. And then we can have fellowship with other believers and the Lord Himself and with the Father. Don't get your mind and your eyes upon the things of this world, but keep your mind and your affections upon the things of God. Another hindrance would be this: believing those who deny the deity of the Father and the Son. In other words, that's a hindrance. When you start believing something, you hear it over and over and you start believing, well, that's a hindrance. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Who is a liar?" Well, it's talking about those who teach against the deity of the Father and the Son. It goes on, it says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." And there's a group today, a cult, that denies Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They deny Him as Savior. They're denying the deity of the Lord. And this can be a hindrance to a person who's not grounded in the Word of God. People need to be grounded in the Word of God and understand this. These people are liars who say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God or God Himself. When 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." We see warnings here. These warnings are about hindrances to fellowship. Warnings about getting away from the true teachings of the Word of God. You want to be strong in the Lord? Stay in His Word. Study His Word. And let the Word of God dwell in you richly. The Scriptures tell us this. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Well, that means study the Word of God and let the power of God come into your life. And the Word of God will lead you into all truth. Practice of sin can also be a hindrance to fellowship. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 4, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Well, that can separate us from fellowship. It doesn't separate us, in other words, it doesn't take our salvation, but it separates us from the fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And verse 7 says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Well, notice verse 10. It says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." But when you see a person who says, "I'm a Christian," and they're living like the devil, then naturally, let's look at it like this. I'm saved, and they're living like the devil. Well, this person who is not saved can look at that person like that and say, "Well, if this person is saved, I'm as good as they are. I'm going to heaven too." But remember this. No one's going to heaven apart from trusting Jesus as Savior. We must trust Him. We must ask Him to come into our heart and receive Him as our Savior. Well, then we look at another hindrance. And this is the behavior, once again, of fellowship, a hindrance to fellowship. And one thing that we see here is, well, actually the theme of the book is fellowship, and one of the behaviors of fellowship is this, that loves in deed and in truth. In other words, it loves in deed and in truth. This is the behavior of a Christian. We love in deed and in truth, according to 1 John chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. The Christian who is walking in fellowship has assurance of salvation. Well, notice in 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 23. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." We have assurance of salvation today because we have trusted Christ. We haven't trusted ourselves to go to heaven, but we trust Jesus to take us to our heavenly home. Well, the Christian has confidence. And God's love in us produces love, and according to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and the Christian who is walking in fellowship with the Lord has no fear. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." How do you have this love? You must trust Jesus as your Savior. You must ask Him to come into your heart. Receive Him as Lord and Savior, and then, as a Christian, you stay in His Word, and you let the Word of God guide you and direct you. Trust Him today as your Savior. And if you are saved, you need to be living for Him. Trust Him to take you through this life and lead and guide you and do His will.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.